I'm Daisha Clay, host of The Classical Classroom, a show where experts teach me about classical music. I used to know very little about classical music, and now I'd like to think that I know slightly more than very little. What I have learned is that classical music isn't the obscure, static art form that I thought that it was. In fact, it's a dynamic force that's doing amazing things in the world right now. Welcome to a Classical Classroom sub-series, Music Works. We'll go behind the scenes at concerts, hear amazing artist stories, and look at all the ways that classical music is working in the world today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classical Classroom. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me today, all the way, I believe, in New York, is Sonia Yoncheva. Sonia is an opera singer who is a native of Bulgaria. She attended the Conservatory of Geneva. She's won many awards, including winning the world's most famous opera competition, Operalia, in 2010. Sonia has been in concerts all over the world. She's collaborated with artists from Sting to Placido Domingo. Her new CD, Paris Mon Amour, sorry about my French, just came out on the Sony label a few days ago. Sonia, welcome to the Classical Classroom.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So what are you going to be teaching me about today?
Well, I'm going to tell you my story.
This is exciting because your story is very interesting, and I think that young people who are interested in getting involved in opera will find it very, not only inspiring, but kind of educational. So, which is, you know, perfect since we are all about the education.
Yeah. Well.
So how does your story start?
Well, it was, you know, a long story because my story with the music is a big and long love story. It started when I was 6 years old, and you know, as every child, I was wondering what I would be in my life, what I will do. And I remember once I asked my mother, "Mommy, tell me please. Everybody's asking me what I want to be in my life, and I really have no idea." And she told me, "How that this can be possible? You will be the greatest musician, the greatest pianist in the world." Wow. And I said, "Wow, what is that? What is a piano?" I didn't even know what was it, you know, at that age. And it was really fun to me to hear that. And she said, "You know, I think I will make you meet this instrument and the classical music, and I think you will love it." And I remember that she brought me to this audition. I was like 6 years and a half, and they wanted me to sing something. And I was so shy that I just escaped. I escaped from the audition. I didn't want to sing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And this was so funny because then my mother had to convince me to come back, and she had to speak with me. And I was asking myself, but why she's doing this to me? Why she want me to, you know, to expose me so much? I was really somebody very shy, very timid. Mm-hmm. And I came back, I sang, and they said, "Oh yeah, she has a nice voice and she can hear the music well. So let's start." And that's how I started my long love story with the music. Later on, I will continue singing in choruses, and I was the lowest voice in the choruses for kids. Mm-hmm. So I would sing in the contralto. So this is really, really low compared to what I am today. Because mm-hmm. when I was 15, I just discovered I could sing even the high notes. So I started to be a soprano all of a sudden, and it was really fun. Yeah. My mother wanted, of course, it's always my mother, the beginning of everything. She would put me in every kind of audition. So like theater auditions, singing, jazz, rock music. And it happens that in one point, she wanted me to do this audition for models. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had to walk like this, like a real model, and I had no idea how to do that. And the people would stare at me and they said, "Yes, she's nice, but, you know, I think that she's not the kind of a model." So, so probably with this nice face you have, and you are speaking a lot, you are very easy communicating with people, I think I have an idea for you. Would you like to be a TV host? And I said, oh, no.
What?
And then, you know, I start to think about it, and my mother pushed me a lot, and she said, no, you should accept this. This is a good thing for you. It will help you for the future.
Well, and then wasn't it on the show when somebody figured out that you could sing and, like, things kind of... You kind of got launched into the world of opera?
Actually, it happens that I was singing in a chorus, and in one of the rehearsals came that girl who was absolutely so normal. You know, you could meet her in the street and you can talk to her as she was your friend, and she started to sing with this voice coming from the future, something coming from another planet, you know. And I wanted absolutely to imitate that color. I was so fascinated. She was singing an aria by Mozart. And I start to sing that at home. And of course, my mother was around. And she would listen to me and she said, I think you have talent. You should try to do this. And of course, I said no again. Because for me, this was... all the time, some inputs, you know, coming from her, theaters, opera, classical music, jazz, guitar, everything, piano and cinema, everything. And I thought to myself, I can't be also an opera singer. It's just not possible. But, you know, just the day after, I was already working with somebody. And
really?
Yeah.
And like, after you heard this woman, you're like, I'm gonna try this, and you started immediately working with somebody to work on your operatic voice?
Immediately, yes, because my mother decided for me, and my mother said, no, tomorrow I call somebody and you will have your first lesson. So that's how I started. And I remember my first lesson was really amazing because, you know, it started with warming my voice, and I was doing all of this exercise and going into the high notes, and these high notes, they just came out of me in a very natural way. I remember singing like B or C with almost not effort, but what I remember was that this was making me, it was turning my head. I mean, physically, I could lose my consciousness. So much I was feeling this air coming into my head.
Like you were going to pass out?
Yeah, exactly. I was feeling that I was going to pass out completely.
So this is your first experience with opera. It makes you want to pass out.
Exactly. And then, of course, I when I started to work with real, you know, to deal with real arias, with real with the composers, with the parts, I just fell in love, so much in love. It was something really strong.
So where did you go from there? You're like you become inspired by this woman. You go out and you start developing your operatic voice. Yeah. How did you kind of get into this world of opera from there?
Well, it was a hard job, of course, but I remember that I had a lot of doubts, you know, if I was on the right way, is that the real color of my life? Should this be my profession? And of course, I was very young, I was 17, and there were a lot of competitions in my country in that time. And I started to, you know, to go to those competitions, of course, with no ambition at all, because I knew I was young and I was just starting. And but I didn't...
You were just kind of trying to get your feet wet, basically.
Yeah, and to test myself, you know, and just to see if I'm really good. Do I have future in this? And how am I singing? I don't know. I wanted just to try to give a try to this profession. And I remember that the first competition I did, it was in Sofia, so the capital of Bulgaria. And I immediately arrived on the second place. And I was so amazed.
And I said, hey, wow, I am good at this.
Yeah. And then it came another competition. I had the first prize, and then another competition, I had the first prize, and I said, wow, so this will work for me.
Nice.
I'm probably good. Yes. And so when I was 19, I understood very fast that in my country, which has a lot of tradition in the operatic in the opera, in the classical music, but I knew that I needed something else. I wanted to experience to try some other colors of the classical singing, like the Baroque music, the early music, and this, unfortunately, in my country is not so traditional. We would more concentrate on periods like the Verismo or the Bel Canto. And
what was that first one? Verismo?
Verismo, yes.
I know
exactly.
Very little about opera, in addition to all of the things I know very little about. So what does that mean?
Verismo, it's part of the musical story where composers would compose music based on real stories, it's the vocality. I mean, the vocal line is really typical because you can use a very direct sound, as if you would speak. That's how it, that's how it feels.
It's like true in story and sort of true in voice as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so it's one of my favorite, actually, periods, and one of my favorite vocal colors, actually. And I'm great fan of Puccini and all of the composers like Leoncavallo of the Verismo period, because of this, because it's very true. And even when you breathe, you feel that the feelings are here. It's not so much based on the technique as you would hear in the Bel Canto, in Donizetti, or even in Verdi. But Verdi, he was a man of the theater, so he knew how to compose his music. You know, it's just impressive how he would integrate the theater in his music.
Yeah, I've heard he was very, he had a lot of flourish.
Yeah.
About his
work.
Yeah,
exactly.
So these were the kinds of opera that were popular in Bulgaria.
In Bulgaria, yes.
But you were like, no, I want to try this Baroque thing out.
Yes, I was curious because I always thought that, Monteverdi, for instance, who is, the one who really, really, really was the best and is the best in the early period, in the early music, he would use this kind of sounds, very jazzy, very swinging, you know. And it's very impressive because he's using also the silences, like a musical part of the piece. And I was really impressed. But unfortunately, in my country, this kind of music was not so typical.
Yeah.
And I wanted to try this. So I start to apply in each of the universities in USA. Uh-huh. Yes, and I wanted to come in America because all of my friends also came here. I wanted to be close to my friends, but somehow it didn't happen. But
were you applying for just like a general university degree? Were you trying to get into like a music school?
Yeah, to music schools.
Okay,
absolutely.
Okay.
And I tried in all of the place, in all of the United States. And the problem was that in United States, the education was really, really expensive. You know, we're talking about times where in Bulgaria, the salary of a person would be like $100 per month, and the education compared to our salaries was really, really expensive. Yeah. So, yeah, I couldn't manage to come here, but one day there was a pianist who I really, really admire very much, a girl who came to me and she said, you know, 20 years ago, I applied to the Conservatory of Geneva, and they told me that I had not the right level to be there and to study with them, but I kept the letter, the envelope with the logo of the conservatory. And if you want, you can write to this conservatory and you can try there. And this is how it happened that I applied for Geneva, and later on I made my exams and they accepted me and my new life started.
So I was kind of reading a little bit about how, you know, you kind of get into doing professional opera, and you sort of kept being this person who was there waiting in the wings and who kept stepping in when other people had to bow out for different reasons. Can you tell us about that experience?
Well, you know, it's not very easy to do that because...
Right. How did you do it without throwing up? I mean, you're just like that's got to be such incredible pressure.
It is. But somehow I always like to think that in life we have nothing to lose. Actually, we have a lot to lose, but it's better to think that we have nothing to lose.
Right, it's better not to think about it.
Yes, because in life, the only one sure thing is the death. And this is the only one thing that can stop everything, really.
Right.
But then it's all the rest is about, it's about life, it's about experience, it's about, you know, just living the moment and trying to be true with the people. And this is what I tried to be on stage, actually. And when I was replacing somebody or when I was just singing my stuff, my things, I tried to be true. And this somehow is always a little victory for me. Because to be honest is the most precious thing for me. And I am honest with the audience, too.
What was that first time when, you know, it's a major opera in like a major venue and you were called to sort of fill in? Like, what was the opera? What was the place? What were the circumstances?
Well, I did many times, but one of the most significant, let's say, was last year when I replaced Anna Netrebko in Faust, in Gounod's Faust. She had to withdraw from this part in three different theaters.
Oh, no.
So, yes, and I, they just arrived, three of them.
What was the part that you were singing? Like, who is the character?
Marguerite.
Okay.
By it's in Faust by Gounod. You know, and I couldn't say no. I was already pregnant like 3 months. yes, but I wanted to go for it because also I found that it was the right moment for me to sing that part, which is not very easy. Mm-hmm. And I did it in Covent Garden, and then later on in Wien Staatsoper, and then in Baden-Baden in the Festspiele. And
easy for you to say.
Yeah. But I enjoyed really much this three of these productions, and also being in the skin of this girl, it was something really impressive, because you know she would in a later point in the opera she would kill her baby in
the
madness.
Gosh.
Yes, because her lover left her, and she would kill her baby, and I was pregnant, and you know, for me the feeling of doing this on stage was really, really strong.
Is this kind of waiting in the wings? I don't really know how it works. I assume that you're kind of like, the only analog that's coming up for me is like if you're an assistant conductor, you're always ready to come out and conduct if something happens to the conductor. No, it's not like that.
I was not ready at all. You know, I had only
on the phone and said, "Hey, Sonia, are you busy?"
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to do that? And I said, "Oh my God, I don't know the part."
Holy
but I said,
moly.
"Oh, you have plenty of time. You have 6 days to learn it."
Oh my God. That's
and
crazy.
So, yeah, you know, I was playing the piano for a very long time, and this helped a lot my preparation, because it's when you are a pianist, you're used to big scores and you're memorizing a lot and you're working a lot with the music. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really easy to memorize. It costs a lot of concentration, but I do it somehow.
That's something that I think is really interesting. You, even though you weren't necessarily familiar with this piece, you were familiar with the music in general through mm-hmm. just, it sounds like, constant practice. Mm-hmm. Is this a way that like young singers can be prepared for any of these random phone calls that they might get from super famous conductors who are like, "Will you fill in for this famous opera singer?"
Yes. I mean, yeah, you know, I think that if it happens, if you're a young singer and it happens mm-hmm. to you, you should know, you should listen to your body and to your voice and to your experience, and you should think if you're ready to take this kind of responsibility. Because, you know, saying it later on, like, "Oh yes, I accept it, oh yes, I learned it, yes, it seems very easy," but actually it's a huge responsibility, because those people and the theaters, they're waiting for you. And also, above all, you have responsibility to yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to be satisfied just after finishing this project. You know, you need to say to yourself, "Okay, I took the risk, but I did the right thing." And this is very important for our morale, how you say that, for our for our satisfaction, for our mentality, to be good, to sleep well, then, you know.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like to me like you're kind of saying, you know, knowing the details is not necessarily the important thing. Being sort of true to your own voice, practicing, mm-hmm. putting in the work in a general sense is what is really important. And those details, it sounds like to you over and over again, have kind of just fallen into place because you have been true to those things.
Absolutely. I was true to myself too, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to be, because it's the voice is expression of the soul, and the soul is completely unlimited, but and it can bring us to different worlds and different mm-hmm. different state. Mm-hmm. And I feel quite responsible to, you know, to be myself in the moment and to express my voice in the right way, to express my soul in the right way with my voice.
You're performing right now La Traviata, and at the Met, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Do you feel like you've made it? do you like have that sort of sense of like, all right, I've arrived?
No. It's never finished, you know. In our job, it's a confirmation each day. We are in an audition each day, every day. Every time you go in front of the audience, it's like a new challenge. And it's never finished. Never. This is what I feel, in any case. And I like this, because this brings to my job something really fresh, you know. It's unlimited, actually, and it's something really fresh. It will last forever, the forever youth.
Yeah, so like not feeling like you've made it is actually kind of keeping you on your toes.
No, I just started.
You just
I'm just starting now, you know, yeah. And I have so many exciting projects in the future, and I would like to be in the good shape and always to keep this kind of fresh and curious way of seeing the things in the life, but also in the music, so I can bring it to the audience too.
Well, before we go, just one last question. Do you have any sort of general advice you could give to young people who are interested in going into opera singing?
I would tell them never to give up, and yeah. also to always be true to themselves, first of all, and then to the others, and to feel very responsible of what they do. Responsible doesn't mean to be boring or to be serious too much. It just
right.
you have to see the life in the light way, and also you have to see the music in that way too. But mm-hmm. also to be very conscious that the music is something we have to defend, we have to serve, and for a long time, and in the very good way.
I like that the music is something that you serve.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the music service.
I am like, yeah, in service of the music, and also of these wonderful composers who left all this fantastic music to us.
Well, that is a great place to leave the conversation. Mm-hmm. Sonia Yoncheva, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's been great having you on this show.
Thank you, too. Thank you for your questions. I really enjoyed.
All right, everybody, that about does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. Thanks to audio producer Todd Totally Holslander for twiddling knobs. Thanks to program director Sinjin Flynn for making me feel like my height is almost normal compared to his. Thanks to Sonia Yoncheva for being on the show today. By the way, the music that you've heard in today's episode was from her new CD. I said at the top of the show, but just in case you didn't catch it, it's Paris Mon Amour. It's on the Sony label. We'll put links on our page to information about Sonia and about the CD. Also, special thanks to composer George Heathcoe for the use of his piece Regifting Lions in our new intro music. To learn more about George, go to georgeheathcoemusic.com. Thanks to Angela Mitchell for her helpful suggestions on this episode. We miss you, Angela! Thanks to me for saying words, and thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time.